The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello, Bleeding Green Nation, and welcome back to another edition of Eye on the Enemy, powered by SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. I'm your host, John Stolness. You can follow me on Twitter, at John Stolness. And coming up, we're going to continue our deep dive into the off seasons of the Eagles' opponents this week. In the last two episodes of this podcast, we looked at the Eagles' first eight opponents. We did four by four, and we're going to take care of the next four here on this episode of the podcast. So we'll kick off the second half schedule by taking a look at the off seasons of the LA Chargers, the Denver Broncos, the New Orleans Saints, and the New York Giants. So we'll dive into all the key acquisitions made by those teams, the key departures, and the drafts that each of those four teams have had, just as we've done the last couple of weeks here on this episode of Eye on the Enemy, as we get you ready here for this 2021 regular season and training camp as they get set to open up in another month or so. So let's dive right into this podcast. Let's not waste any time. Let's just talk about these teams, because the Eagles have a tough schedule. As I've been going through this, I know they're playing a lot of teams with losing records, but I think a lot of these teams are going to bounce back in 2021. And I think the team that with a losing record last year that probably has the best chance to bounce back and be a real impact team in the NFL is the next team we're going to talk about, and that's the LA Chargers. They went 7-9 last year and finished in third place in the AFC West. But by every analyst's look at this team, by every measure you can consider, I think the Chargers have had, if not one of the best off seasons, then perhaps the best off season of any franchise in the NFL this year. Key additions and re-signings: center Corey Lindsey, the best center in football; tight end Jared Cook; offensive tackle Matt Filer; cornerback Michael Davis and cornerback Ryan Smith. Key draft additions: offensive tackle Rashawn Slater; cornerback Asante Samuel Jr.; wide receiver Josh Palmer; tight end Trey McKitty; edge rusher Chris Rumpf II. Key departures: tight end Hunter Henry; linebacker Denzel Perryman; linebacker Nick Vigil; safety Rayshon Jenkins; guard Dan Feeney; guard Sam Tevy; and Casey Hayward, cornerback. So this was a team that finished up the season pretty good last year, won their last four games. But the Chargers every year, like the Falcons, and we talked about the Falcons a couple of weeks ago, seem to find ways to lose winnable games these last few years. And that's one of the reasons why Anthony Lynn was dismissed as the head coach. Perhaps no team in the NFL was more in need of a new direction at head coach. And so the Chargers dismissed Anthony Lynn. They went out and got themselves one of the best defensive minds in the game, former Rams defensive coordinator Brandon Staley. And Staley certainly had a huge impact with the Rams. The Rams defense was tops in the NFL in both points and yards allowed in 2020. So they are getting themselves an absolutely fantastic defensive mind. Of course, it kind of goes against the grain in today's NFL to hire a defensive coordinator to be your head coach. Most of these jobs are going to offensive guys. These are the gurus, you know, that we hear so much about. But Staley's Rams have been a dominant defensive team for a number of years now, and they're obviously hoping that he can bring the same kind of dominance to their defense that he brought to the LA Rams. And hey, nice for him, he probably didn't even have to move. You know, he goes from the LA Rams to the LA Chargers, he probably gets to stay in the same house. So the Chargers are led by their second year quarterback Justin Herbert, and Justin Herbert was just phenomenal last year as a rookie. He put up some insane numbers: 4,336 yards, 31 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, a 98.3 quarterback rating, 66.7% completion rate. You know, this is a guy who I think out of college, a lot of people thought he'd be good. A lot of people figured he'd be a guy who would, who, he had tools. He obviously had all the tools to be a successful big league quarterback. But, you know, I don't think anybody predicted that he would take the NFL by storm the way he did last year. But he does. He's got all the tools. He's got the size. He's got the arm strength. And the Chargers made sure this offseason that they did everything they could to protect this investment, to protect this player. And they went out and they improved the offensive line in a big, big way. Perhaps the best move by any team this offseason was the signing of the best center in football, former Packer Corey Linsley. I mean, this guy is absolutely the best in the NFL. Allowed just 4 total pressures last year on 437 pass blocking attempts. Just a crazy number, the lowest pressure total in the league. So you've got Corey Linsley now hiking the ball to Justin Herbert and giving him all the protection. And then they also signed Matt Filer away from the Steelers. USA Today noted that over the last 3 years, Filer blew only 31 pass blocking assignments in just shy of 1,500 attempts. And in 903 run blocking snaps, he blew 8. And here's a guy who can also play tackle or guard. He gives you position flexibility, so he gives the Chargers a lot of different ways that they can construct the offensive line here with having Filer in there as a guy who can play either tackle or guard. Those guys are so valuable, those position flexible guys. And then in the draft, they filled a big hole at left tackle by taking Northwestern tackle Rashawn Slater to be their starting left tackle. And no one thought that Slater would be there at 13, but there he was, and he will fill. And there's some question marks as to whether or not he's going to be a tackle in the NFL long term. There's a lot of people who think his arms aren't quite long enough to play a tackle, so that he's more likely a guard. But the Chargers believe that the way he played in college, what they see on tape, he can be a left tackle, and so that's where he's going to start. And if he's successful there, it would fill a huge hole for LA's offensive line. They're going to try him at left tackle to start the season. Those are 3 impact players for the offensive line to protect your investment, to protect Justin Herbert. And they also got themselves a new right guard in Ode Abouche from the Lions. The Chargers released Trey Turner last year and snapped up Abouche, who, as a starter in the second half of the Lions last year, only blew 33 blocks in 1,875 snaps. So they've got 4 new additions to this offensive line to protect Justin Herbert. That's a phenomenal offseason, and that's just smart. It's a smart allocation of resources by the LA Chargers, and that's one of the reasons why virtually everyone who looks at their offseason gave them an A for what they've done. Now, Herbert absolutely has some weapons to throw the ball to. They're bringing in tight end Jared Cook from the Saints. He caught 16 touchdowns the last 2 years for the Saints. He's going to be one of Herbert's targets, obviously. Keenan Allen, tremendous talent at wide receiver. He caught 100 balls for 992 yards last year in just 14 games. Mike Williams is the team's deep threat. 756 yards on 48 receptions, a 15.8 yards per reception average. And then wide receiver 3, Jalen Guyton, put up 511 yards on 28 receptions for an 18.3 yards per reception average. So there's plenty of options for Herbert to throw the ball to on the outside. Not much going in the running game for LA. Austin Eckler, Justin Jackson, Josh Kelly are not huge threats to run the ball. Eckler led the team last year with just 530 yards rushing, but this is going to be a team that throws the football. And so what the Chargers are hoping that is that Staley comes in and provides some help to this defense that who needs it. This is a defense that absolutely needs the help, and he's expected to make a big impression. The team is going to switch from a 4-3 to it looks like a 3-4 defense, so there's going to be some adjustment there. There might be an adjustment in year one, and it might be an adjustment in the first half of the season, but by the time game number 9 rolls around, they should have their sea legs under them, one would think. And Joey Bosa is the star for that defense. You know, switching to a 3-4 defense will be an adjustment, but he's expected to make that adjustment. So Bosa is going to be a guy who is going to probably be their big sack guy, but the defensive line could be a weakness for LA. The team is hoping that Nasir Adderley can finally figure things out at safety, which would go a long way to making their secondary formidable. And the Chargers did have some luck in the draft with their first round selection of Slater, who fell to them at number 13. And then a guy who a lot of people thought could be there who could go in the first round also was Samuel Jr. they pick up a really solid-looking cornerback prospect in the second round of the draft. So you got some help there in the secondary, and again, hopefully if Adderley comes through for the Chargers, if Adderley can figure things out, you've got yourself some good pieces there in the secondary. Asante Samuel Jr. will fill the hole left by Casey Hayward, who was released earlier this year. Samuel won't have to be the number one corner, thank goodness. I mean, you'll have the team re-signed Michael Davis to a contract, so he'll be the number one guy looking to shut down other teams' number one wide receiver. So I think the Chargers are going to play a lot of high-scoring games. I mean, I think this is going to be a situation where you're looking kind of like a Dallas Cowboys situation. I mean, I think their defense is a little bit better than the Cowboys, but these two teams could be very similar in the types of games that they play this year. But no doubt about the fact that the Chargers look like they could... If the Chiefs stumble a little bit in the AFC West, the Chargers are primed to leapfrog them. If you're looking for a team to jump up and kind of surprise this year, look for the LA Chargers. I think this is going to be a really tough game for the Eagles to win. This is a quarterback in Justin Herbert who is a superstar already and could make an even bigger leap here in year number two. All right, let's look at the Eagles' next opponent, another AFC West team, the Denver Broncos at 5-11. And folks, this is not a good team. This is not a team that's going to surprise anybody. Key additions and re-signings for the Broncos: safety Justin Simmons, outside linebacker Von Miller, cornerback Kyle Fuller, cornerback Ronald Darby, defensive end Shelby Harris, safety Kareem Jackson, and quarterback Teddy Bridgewater. Key draft additions: cornerback Patrick Surtain II, running back Javonte Williams, and linebacker Baron Browning. Key departures: running back Philip Lindsay, outside linebacker Jeremiah Atashu, offensive lineman Elijah Wilkinson, and cornerback A.J. Boye. So Vic Fangio back for another season as Denver's head coach, and he has some work to do here. This is not a terribly good football team, and if somebody can explain to me what the Denver Broncos were thinking in this draft, they had a chance to get themselves a potential franchise quarterback in this draft, and instead they decided to go out and spend their first-round pick on a cornerback. They spent the offseason upgrading the cornerback position in free agency with Kyle Fuller and Ronald Darby. And then they passed up the opportunity to draft Justin Fields so they could draft another corner, Patrick Surtain. I don't understand. I mean, unless maybe they just hated Justin Fields and maybe they just felt like this guy is no good at all. But, you know, the quarterback position is this team's biggest weakness. There's no answer at quarterback in Denver. Drew Lock is bad. Full stop. Drew Lock is a bad quarterback. The guy threw for 2,933 yards last year, 16 touchdowns, 15 interceptions for a 75.4 rating. This is not a good quarterback. This is not a guy you build around. And then you have Teddy Bridgewater coming in as his backup. Bridgewater might win the job out of training camp. He's also not the answer. We've seen Teddy Bridgewater in this league for, I don't know why I'm getting mad. This is the Denver Broncos. I don't care if they stink, if they make bad decisions. I start yelling about stupidity because stupidity is stupidity. I don't care who's being stupid. It lacks all semblance of intelligence. I just don't understand passing on Fields in the first round of the draft when Fields falls to you in that spot. You have a desperate need for quarterback. I mean, they have a desperate need for quarterback. And they pass on Fields. Surtain's going to probably be a good cornerback. But what are you doing? Like, what styrofoam peanuts are rattling around inside your brain where you're making that decision? If I was a Broncos fan, you know how we felt after the Eagles passed up trading up for CeeDee Lamb and going after Justin Jefferson and instead taking Jalen Reagor and then going and getting Jalen Hurts in the draft 2 years ago. That's got to be how the Denver Broncos are feeling about they're gonna think about Justin Fields forever. No matter, you can't tell me Broncos fans aren't gonna be keeping a close eye on what Justin Fields does and wonder what if. Now, if Justin Fields stinks, then they'll be proven right in the long run. But this was bad process, no matter how you shake it out. This was just bad process. And so it's either going to be Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater as this team's starting quarterback. My guess is that you might see a situation where each of these guys start 7 or 8 games this year, because when you got two quarterbacks, you don't have any. and the Denver Broncos don't have any right now. Jerry Jeudy had a solid season as a rookie wide receiver last year, which will help whoever is that quarterback. He should progress on his rookie season last year. 856 yards on 52 catches and 3 touchdowns. Tim Patrick led the team with 6 receiving touchdowns. He hauled in 742 yards worth of passes, and the Broncos are hoping that last year's second-round pick, K.J. Hamler, can rebound from a very subpar rookie season, just 381 yards receiving last year for Hamler. Melvin Gordon is back as the team's number one running back. He did run for 986 yards and 9 touchdowns in just 10 starts last year, a 4.6 yards per rush average, not yards per game, that would be very bad. So Melvin Gordon, if he's healthy, can provide this team with some really good production at the running back position, but it's an offense that needs the quarterback to work in order for the offense to work. And on the surface, this offense is not going to work. It's just not. And I can't understand for the life of me what the Denver Broncos are doing. This is a team the Eagles should beat this year. This is a team I feel like the Eagles are better than and should be able to pick up a win against the Denver Broncos when they face off against each other later this year. All right, we're going to step away, take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to dive into the Eagles' next two opponents, the New Orleans Saints and the New York Football Giants. That's coming up next here on Eye on the Enemy.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It was always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
And we're back with Eye on the Enemy. So let's continue looking at the Eagles' 2021 opponents. And we'll take a look at the New Orleans Saints right now, who finished 12-4 in first place in the NFC South last year. But times, they are changing in New Orleans. Key additions and re-signings will start with the quarterback position, Jameis Winston, offensive tackle James Hurt, safety Marcus Williams, cornerback PJ Williams. Key draft additions, edge rusher Peyton Turner. Not a whole lot else of note in the draft for the Saints. They obviously made some picks, but a lot of reaching going on in the draft by the Saints this offseason. Key departures, Drew Brees, of course. You've got Emmanuel Sanders, tight end Jared Cook, tight end Josh Hill, edge rusher Trey Hendrickson, defensive tackle Malcolm Brown, defensive tackle Sheldon Rankins, and cornerback Janoris Jenkins. So some big losses there, some big departures for the Saints, certainly more departures than additions for New Orleans this offseason. There is perhaps no NFL team happier to see Drew Brees go away than the Philadelphia Eagles. He only went 4-3 against the Eagles in 7 regular season games, but beat the Eagles 3 times in the playoffs, including the NFC divisional round in 2018, the year after the Super Bowl. So replacing him is Jameis Winston, who is, in my opinion, objectively lousy. It's quite a downgrade, and now I guess we'll see just how good Sean Payton and his offensive brain power really is. Taysom Hill will presumably get a chance to win the starting job too by the time the season rolls around. By the time the Eagles, you know, play game number 10 against New Orleans, it'll be either Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill. My guess is it'll probably be Winston. The Saints had to basically do nothing this offseason because they are in the same kind of salary cap purgatory that the Eagles have been this past year. And based on the lack of offseason additions and the way things are looking cap-wise moving forward, they're going to continue to wallow in some cap purgatory. They've also spent a lot of their draft picks on free agents and trades over the last few seasons in an effort to keep the Super Bowl window open. They were never able to get there. Does all that sound familiar, Eagles fans? It should, because they kind of mirror each other here. The Saints lost Cook and wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders in free agency, didn't make any major additions on offense. The Saints did use the franchise tag on Williams, which they had to do, but losing edge rusher Trey Hendrickson is a big loss too, as is cornerback Janoris Jenkins. So New Orleans also did not get a lot of help in the draft class. They got edge rusher Peyton Turner in round number one, but I know a lot of people thought he was a reach in the first round of the draft, and they didn't get a whole lot else to give them a boost in 2021 after that. But the Saints do have some talent. It's not as though this team is bereft of talent. You go 12-4 last year without being a pretty talented team. Alvin Kamara obviously remains one of the most potent weapons in the game. 932 yards and 16 touchdowns on the ground last year, along with 756 receiving yards and 83 catches, another five touchdowns. That's 1,688 total yards and 21 total touchdowns for Alvin Kamara last season. Latavius Murray added 656 yards on the ground as the number two running back. So a potent running game to help out Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill, whoever the quarterback is. And they still have Michael Thomas, one of the five best wide receivers in baseball, looking for a bounce back season after he played just seven games last year, looking fully healthy to going back to being maybe the best wide receiver in football. And then you've got Tre'Quan Smith, who could take the next step as he moves into the number two role, caught 34 balls for 448 yards last season. He's a guy who can burn you deep, and the Eagles have some experience getting burned by Smith, so they'll certainly recognize him when they meet up later in the offseason, later in the regular season. But it's going to be interesting to see what the Saints look like this year without Drew Brees. This is obviously a different era. It's going to be more of a struggle for New Orleans, but you know, 12-4, how far are they going to fall from 12-4? Because like I just mentioned, they have some talent there on the offensive side of the ball, and defense should still be a decent unit. They did lose some players and were not able to backfill. So I don't know if this is more than a 9-win team now. It might be an 8-win team. This might be a team that goes 8-9, but they're probably more like a 500 team now than they have been, rather than a perennial Super Bowl contender like they have been in years past. All right, final team we're going to look at here on this episode of Eye on the Enemy is division rival the New York Giants. Finished 6-10, second in the NFC East last year, and they have had a very busy offseason. Key additions and re-signings: wide receiver Kenny Golladay, defensive end Leonard Williams, cornerback Adoree Jackson, tight end Kyle Rudolph, running back Devontae Booker, wide receiver John Ross, quarterback Mike Glennon, defensive tackle Danny Shelton, linebacker Reggie Ragland, tight end Kelvin Benjamin. Some key draft additions: wide receiver Kadarius Toney, edge rusher Azeez Ojulari, cornerback Aaron Robinson, and then you've got key departures: guard Kevin Zeitler, defensive tackle Dalvin Tomlinson, edge rusher Kyle Fackrell, and linebacker David Mayo. So finally, we get to talk about another NFC East team. This is only the second time we've had a chance to talk about an NFC East team, and this is opponent number 11 for the Eagles here in 2021. Now, make no mistake, if the Giants struggle this year, it will be the fault of their quarterback, Daniel Jones, because the Giants, Dave Gettleman went out and they loaded this team at the skill positions. Getting wide receiver Kenny Golladay was a huge move to boost the wide receiver core, and he'll give the Giants a very dangerous set of receivers, along with Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard, and they went out and got speed guy John Ross. And then, after you know, you've already got four decent to excellent wide receivers, they were obsessed with taking a wide receiver in the first round of the draft, which I just don't understand. You've got Golladay, Slayton, Shepard, Ross, and you know there's other areas on the team where you could improve. To go and pick wide receiver Kadarius Toney, I mean, they made a good move moving down and getting a first-round pick next year in the draft by moving down and lower into the draft. Made all the sense in the world once the Eagles jumped up and grabbed Devontae Smith in front of them, but you know, I just don't understand Kadarius Toney. I don't get the pick. Where is he going to play? You know, when's he going to play? How's he going to get in there? It's just a weird move given all the other investments that they made at wide receiver. They wanted Devonta Smith and didn't get him for some reason. I don't know what happened there. They really should have tried harder, I guess. But no, it's interesting that I don't understand the obsession with getting a wide receiver in the first round, given all the other talent that they have at wide receiver. Now, the offensive line could still be a little bit of a question mark, but it will be much improved if last year's first round pick Andrew Thomas gets better in year number two. And also, tackle Nate Solder is returning after opting out last year due to COVID. So the offensive line should be an improved unit this coming season. So this, I think, all falls at the feet of Jones, who is still taking a ton of sacks, who is still fumbling the ball, who is still turning the ball over. You know, I've been the high man on Jones among Eagles fans. I feel like he's got a lot of talent. I think he has the talent to be a good quarterback. I think he could be an Eli Manning-like passer in the pocket. But he has got to protect the football, and he's got to stay on his feet. And, of course, you know, the Giants will get Saquon Barkley back. They're going to have one of the best running backs in football to go along with all those talented receivers and with a hopefully a better offensive line. So this offense has a ton of talent at the skill position. The defense also improved over the final six games of last year, and the Giants are hoping that that's going to be a good indication of what's coming up here in 2021. Although, to be fair, in the second half last year, the Giants played a lot of games against NFC East opponents who mostly stink. But over the last eight games, they held opponents to 20 points or fewer six times out of those eight games. The Giants signed Adoree Jackson at cornerback to go along with James Bradbury, so that should give New York some talent there on the outside. Second-round pick Ojulari could be a sneaky quality grab at linebacker for them, too, in their 3-4 defense. And along the defensive line, they brought back Leonard Williams, a key part of their defensive attack, along with linebackers Blake Martinez, Lorenzo Carter. They're both back for another season. Outside linebacker O'Shane Ximenez is going to be back. So, you know, Joe Judge wants blood. There's no doubt about the fact the Giants want the Eagles' blood. And I think at the moment, the Giants are the more talented team. I think the Giants are a more talented team. After an eight-game losing streak against the Eagles and a recent stretch where they lost 12 out of 13, the Giants finally beat the Birds last November 27-17, and I think are ready to swing momentum in this long-running rivalry back to their side, at least for one more season. At least for one more season. I think the Giants have done a really good job this offseason of going out and improving their club, making themselves better, and I think right now they are a more talented team than the Philadelphia Eagles. But for how long that remains to be the case, we'll see how quickly the Eagles are able to bounce back and rebound after what we hope will be just one season where they're not playing so hot. So that is a look at the Eagles' next four opponents. That's our breakdown of the LA Chargers. That's our breakdown of the Denver Broncos, of the New Orleans Saints, and the New York Giants. And next week, we're going to talk about a lot of NFC East opponents. And so we will have that for you next week on Eye on the Enemy. We'll give you a breakdown on the Dallas Cowboys and Washington football team. I know we already talked about them. We'll also talk a little New York Jets. Everybody loves a little New York Jets conversation, and we'll dive into some more Eagles talk as well too. Hopefully, you know, we're in the dead spot here in the off season, so not a lot going on with the Birds, but next week hopefully we'll have some more news coming your way that we can dish about here on Eye on the Enemy. Thanks everybody for tuning in. We will talk to you next time here on Eye on the Enemy.
EGN.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.